Glorious music for a glorious night. Welcome, whoever you are among us this night, church members, guests, families, friends, wherever you have come from, welcome to this time and place. As we celebrate Christmas Eve, as we sing carols, as we pray, and as we gather together in the wonder of this night, may God's richest and warmest blessing be upon you and in you. In a moment, we'll have the call to worship, and then our first hymn, a processional carol, and we would ask you to stand and sing with a whole heart and with a full voice the music of this night. So let's call each other to worship now, as in the bulletin and on the screen. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
He is named Emmanuel, God with us. We find our life, our joy, our comfort, joy in the world, the Lord has come.
Please rise a fable and join together in song. Join with me as together we pray in unison our prayer of invocation for this night. Reigning God, whose rule extends to the farthest stars, come to rule within us on this glorious night when the Word becomes flesh once more to dwell among us. We open ourselves to the light and long to offer our lives as a dwelling place for your truth. Speak to us again through the child of Bethlehem. Reach out to the child in each of us and hold us in the warmth of God's embrace. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have readings tonight from a poet and essayist by the name of Anne Weems. I will begin with the first reading, and the readings to follow will be related to the Clifton clan. And so my family will be joining me in those readings. The first one is the longest, and it's entitled, O Lord, You Were Born. I am getting older, and I've heard it said, Christmas is for children. But somehow, a fa-la-la keeps creeping out. So, I'll say it. I love Christmas tinsel and angel voices that come from the beds upstairs. And I say, three cheers for Santa Claus and the Salvation Army bucket and all the wrappings and festivities and special warm feelings. I say, it is good giving, praising, celebrating. So, hooray for Christmas trees and candlelight and the good old church pageant. Hooray for shepherd boys who forget their lines and wise men whose beards fall off and a Mary who giggles. Oh Lord, you were born. Oh Lord, you were born. And that breaks in upon my ordered life like bugles blazing, blaring. And I sing, hark the herald angels, in the most unlikely places. You were born, and I will celebrate. I rejoice for the carnival of Christmas. I clap for the pajama-clad cherubs and the Christmas cards jammed in the mailbox. Ooh, for the turkey, and for the Christmas pudding. And thank God for the alleluias I see in the faces of people I don't know, and yet know very well. Oh Lord, there just aren't enough choir boys to sing what I feel. There aren't enough trumpets to blow. Oh Lord, I want bells to peal. I want to dance in the streets of Bethlehem. I want to sing with the heavenly host. For unto us a son was given, and he was called God with us. For those of us who believe, the whole world is decorated in love. Let's rise, if able, and join together in another carol, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
Please be seated. This is my granddaughter for our second reading.
The day is here, and we made it to Bethlehem. The time has come for kneeling, and we've seen the child. They're singing in the stable, and we want desperately to hold on to it. Hold on to the star and the angels and the spirit of love. How do we hold on to the Christmas spirit? Why can't every day be Christmas? The world mutters, "Be realistic." And sometimes we church people mutter too. On our way back from Bethlehem, sometimes we forget what we've been warned about in a dream. To return another way. Once we've seen the child, we're left holding hearts wherein angels dance and stars sing. Once we've been to Bethlehem, every day is Christmas.
Good evening. Tonight's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 in the Contemporary Version. About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed, so Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room for them in the inn. That night, in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day, in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on the bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised, but Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said. The word of the Lord.
This is a night of gifts, of giving and receiving. We bring our lives now to time of offering and ask the ushers to wait upon us as we bring our Christmas gifts. Thank you. life filled with blessing and goodness, we bring these gifts. May the light of Christ fill our world through the giving this night of your people here and everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Our second reading, third reading.
Unexpected. Even now, we simply do not expect to find a deity in a stable. Somehow the setting is all wrong. The swaddling clothes too plain, the manger too common for the likes of a savior. The straw inelegant, the animals reeking and noisy, and the whole scene too ordinary for our taste. And the cast of characters is no better. Who among them is fit for this night, with the possible exception of the kings? The shepherds? Certainly too crude. The carpenter? Too rough. And the girl? Too young. And the baby? Whoever expected a baby? Whoever expected the advent of God in a helpless child? Had the Messiah arrived in the blazing light of the glory of a legion of angels wielding golden swords, the whole world could have been conquered for Christ right then and there. And we in the church, to say nothing of the world, wouldn't have so much trouble today. Even now, we simply do not expect to face the world armed with love.
The third candle celebrates the joy that covers our flame of the Christ candle opens our eyes to God's everlasting light as we celebrate the way to worship Christ, our newborn King. Jesus, tonight we join the angelic choir proclaiming glory to God in the highest. In a world where people seek the perfect gift to give, we rejoice because you've already given it. As you lit up the sky that first Christmas, continue to illuminate our world with your presence. We pray on this Christmas Eve that you will guide our every step, hear our every prayer, and delight in every praise as we come and worship Christ, our newborn King. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. It was lovely. So lovely.
The name Sam Wells doesn't mean anything, I'm sure, to anybody here but me. If there's a retired preacher in the group, raise your hand. You would recognize the name. He's a big deal, you know, among preachers. He writes books. He does podcasts that are listened to by thousands and thousands of people. He was born in Canada, but as an infant, he was taken to England, where he grew up. And he's had a stellar career. He's brilliant in every way. People love him. For about 7 years, he was dean of the chapel at Duke University. I was there for part of my studies, and I know what that's like on Christmas Eve. The Duke Chapel holds 1,800 people, and it will be packed tonight. And I'm sorry, but they bring in professionals from New York. Okay. Professional singers from New York City. And people with instruments. And I've seen it. It's magnificent. Magnificent. For 7 years, he was dean of the chapel, and so he had many Christmas Eves that were just out of this world in terms of beauty. And then when he left, he went back home. He went back to England. I guess he missed the rain, the cloudiness, the cold, and his people. And he became vicar of St. Martin's in the Fields, right in the middle of London. Maybe you've heard of that church. Its music is worldwide. It's renowned. Thousands of people all over the world will be listening to St. Martin's in the Fields music. And it's got a ministry to the homeless and to young people. It's an outstanding place. Have I built this guy up a little bit? He's a big deal. He is a big deal. But the Christmas Eve that he writes us to remember and tells about isn't at Duke Chapel, and it's not in St. Martin's in the Fields. It was in his first church. He was a young man. He had a big church. 15 people would show up on Sunday morning. That's less than here. 15 people shows up on Sunday morning. And that was his first, you know, you got to start someplace. You don't start up there. You start down here. and it was his first Christmas in his first church. And he said to the vestry, he said, you know, we're going to have several services, but I know that you'll want to have a Christmas Eve service, midnight Christmas Eve service. And the vestry said, what? We don't do that here. None of us have ever been to a midnight Christmas Eve service anywhere, but we don't want to do that. And he said, let's do it. Let's just add it to all the other things we're doing. So what are they going to say? Well, what they said was, you go ahead and do it. We're not coming. So this is what they did. They gathered a committee together, and they made all of these leaflets and flyers, and they took them out into the community. They left leaflets, invitations to the Christmas Eve service in over 3,000 homes. Well, you would expect a pretty good return. I would. He did. So it was set for 11:30. 11 o'clock came on Christmas Eve, and he was sitting waiting for the crowd to show up. 11:15. 11:25. 11:30. Not a single person. Sam writes and remembers this, that he tried his best not to weep, not to let the tears flow, and he failed. There he was, feeling like a failure, feeling like he was, you know, the church was failing and he was failing, and it's Christmas Eve and it's a midnight service and not a single person has come. And then at 11:32, he heard a noise in the back, and a couple came in, sort of looked around, and, is there nobody here? Sam said, I'm sorry, but there's nobody here. Oh, good, we're glad that nobody's here. He said, what? You wanted to come to a church where nobody was there? And so they began to tell their story. They were in their 40s. They both had been married to somebody else. They both got divorced, and they became husband and wife. And it made a whole lot of people very unhappy. All of their friends and relatives and neighbors and everyone in their lives rejected them. They moved to a new place. They stopped going to church altogether. They were afraid to be seen with people, around people. They were afraid to meet or talk to any of their relatives and friends that they knew before. They felt totally, totally rejected and ashamed. And so they said, we thought, well, if we come into a church on Christmas Eve and there's nobody there, then nobody will reject us. And then she said, our lives are a mixture of love and shame. And then she said, we want to begin again. So do I. So do you. We all do. We want to feel as if in God's great grace, in the gift of Jesus Christ, in the love for the world that came in his life, in his birth, in his ministry, in his work, that there is a place and an opportunity for us to begin again. That's the invitation to this and to every Christmas. God invites us into life anew. God invites Himself to be born in us, and we begin again. Let us join our hearts in the Christmas prayer for this night. Glorious are you, God of Christmas, essence of all creation. You are the symphony of stars and planets, the music of the heavens. You are the harmony of the atoms within us. You are the dawn on every mountain peak, the moonlight on every evening sea. Forest and farm, the rush of the city, everything is embraced in your love. We rejoice this night as we sing and pray our gratitude. Glorious are you, O Jesus Christ, cosmic love in human flesh. You graced the smallness of time and place, born in a stable, in a feed box, manger. And because of that, you teach us to dance to the music of the spheres. You walk on our seas of confusion and heal us in our streets of despair. You make your home in our lives, bringing renewal and new beginnings. We rejoice as we sing and pray our gratitude this Christmas Eve. Glorious are you, O Spirit, Holy Spirit of truth, wisdom and breath of our being. You are the wind that carries us forth. You are the fire that burns in our hearts. You are the needle of the inner compass directing our path, always pointing to the road that leads to peace, guiding us in the sacred dance. We rejoice as we sing and pray our gratitude. Jesus of Mary and Joseph, Jesus of shepherds and angels, Jesus of children and animals, Jesus of fishermen and priests and carpenters and mechanics and nurses and dentists and chiropractors and cooks and lawyers and police and elected officials and salespeople and janitors and prison guards, Jesus of all of us, come and be born in us as Christmas bids us welcome. We rejoice as we sing and pray this Christmas night for us gathered here and for the world. We bring you our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of her.
I'd really like to give you for Christmas is a star. Brilliance in a package, something you could keep in the pocket of your jeans or in the pocket of your being. Something to take out in times of darkness, something that would never snuff out or tarnish. Something you could hold in your hand, something for wonderment, something for pondering. Something that would remind you of what Christmas has always meant. God's Advent light in the darkness of this world. But stars are only for God's forgiving, and I must be content to give you words and wishes and packages without stars. But I can wish you life, as radiant as the star that announced the Christ child's coming, and as filled with awe as the shepherds who stood beneath its light. And I can pass on to you the love that has been given to me, ignited countless times by others who have knelt in Bethlehem's light. And perhaps, if you ask, God will give you a star.
Following the Christmas affirmation, we will remain seated for the lighting of our candles. I'll take a candle and light from the Christ candle, and the lights will go down and we'll share our lights. You have a candle, I trust, will be passed to you. The lights will go down and we will be filled with your light in this place, in this room. And then we will sing together Silent Night, and afterwards we'll extinguish our candles for the closing blessing and carol. Join with me as we responsibly affirm our faith this night. Let the love that shaped earth and heaven
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that created humanity
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that overcomes suffering and hatred
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that causes us to rejoice with loved ones
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that forgives and renews
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that brings reconciliation after separation
dwell within us this Christmas.
Let the love that brings the blessing of peace
dwell within us this Christmas.
And may we share that peace
with all people near and far away.
Amen.
Thank you.
stand, please. Thank you for being here tonight. Thanks to all who participated, the musicians who worked so hard, the readers, the ushers, those who decorated us for Advent and Christmas, and all of the flowers and the beauty of this place and of this night. Thanks to all of you. Let us bless each other as we go from this place now. Joy to the World will be our final hymn. Let us go to be the gift of another's needs. Your response?
Sharing God's blessing of love and grace, running to tell the story we heard from the shepherds.
Let us go to be the comfort which can swaddle others.
Sharing Jesus' compassion with the poor and needy, welcoming the holiness offered by the most vulnerable we meet.
Let us go to be Christ's presence to the lives around us.
Sharing the Spirit's peace with all the broken, learning the language of hope from the children in our midst.
Amen. We sing together.
Thank you.
Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, choir. You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.